I have my Bible open to Psalm 23. This week we begin a new sermon series in the probably one of the most famous, if not the most famous, Psalms. Over the next 12 weeks, we will dig deep into these six short verses and pray for the Lord's guidance and wisdom as we make our way through it. So please join me in Psalm 23 and hear the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. As I said, six short verses that we will look at over the next 12 weeks, tearing it apart, digging deep into it. A psalm probably many of you memorized from childhood. Written, of course, by King David, himself a shepherd of his father's flocks as a boy. However, please note, as Sinclair Ferguson points out, the shepherd boy, David, did not write this psalm. King David, after coming to his kingship, wrote this. The David of Psalm 23 needed soul restoration. He had visited the valley of the shadow of death. He had faced evil. He had enemies. This was a well-tested believer who penned these words. And he spoke from a very, very long experience with God over his years. And his confidence about the future, his future, was based on those past experiences where time and time and time and time and time again, Jehovah, Yahweh, brought David through those struggles. And he proclaimed, "The Lord is my shepherd." For this sermon today, we will look at those five short words, five simple words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, singular, one Lord. The Lord, the definite article, the, one Lord, the Lord God, is my, present tense, is my shepherd now. He is my shepherd now. And then the word shepherd, caretaker, provider, protector, leader, guide, etc. From Psalm 78, we read, "He led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that no one should be afraid." The shepherd, the provider, the protector. Now, it's interesting to note that this word shepherd, in this usage here, it is a verb and not a noun. Very pointed, it's a verb and not a noun. A verb, of course, shows action. So again, the shepherd is presently, present tense, in action, being the shepherd. Very important to us. Yes, he is the shepherd, capital S, but he's also the shepherd, small s, in action as a verb, being the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So exactly who is David referring to? Well, of course, as I've said, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then this is confirmed, God being the shepherd, in Jesus Christ, when he proclaimed that I am, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the good shepherd," being God. He said, "I am the good shepherd," again, the provider, the protector. When one makes the claim that the Lord is my shepherd, it implies a very real and intimate bonding in a relationship with God himself. And go back and think about those shepherding days. Some of you have experience with livestock, etc. Some of us do not. But when we look upon that picture of the relationship between that shepherd and those sheep, and he spends so much time in and amongst the sheep, bonding with them, so much so that he could have a whistle or a guttural utterance of his voice, and those sheep recognize it immediately. That personal, intimate relationship is shown, is revealed, when one says, "The Lord is my shepherd." A created human being in a relationship with the Creator. Think on this. You as a believer, I as a believer, have that personal, intimate relationship with the same God. With the same God that told Abraham that one day he would be the father of many nations. The same God that Moses approached in that burning bush. The same God that Hannah prayed to and was given a son. The same God that Jonah ran from when he was told to go to Nineveh. The same God that King David acknowledged to be his shepherd. You as well can acknowledge that the Lord is your shepherd. This should really stir something deep, deep within us. And that's the reason I came to this psalm, because so many times when we memorize things, we hear the words and they roll right off our tongue, we memorize them, but then we have to stop and put eye on every word and dig into those words. When I was in seminary, Professor Caro would say, "Okay, stop." And he'd stop us mid reading of scripture and say, "All right, dig in. Let's dig into that word." The psalm can be that familiar to us, but yet we not understand the full gravity and depth that this psalm brings to us. One of the things this brings to us when we acknowledge that the Lord is our shepherd is great dignity. Great dignity and meaning within us. To think that God in Jesus Christ is concerned about you as a person. And here again, here's the great difference in Christianity and every other faith out there. This personal, intimate relationship with the Creator God. Different than any other religion, different than any other faith. You have a personal, intimate, in-depth relationship with the shepherd. This gives great meaning to purpose that we are not here randomly, as so many of us are taught. We have meaning, we have purpose, we have intent, we have an objective, because the Lord is our shepherd. And see, this is one of the great travesties of the world. This is what the world is missing: purpose and meaning. They look for purpose and meaning in all the different places around them. Within themselves, they look for purpose. Looking for purpose and meaning outside of the Lord Jesus Christ leads to very misguided lives, which in turn leads to pain, disappointment, and loss. But when we acknowledge that the Lord is our shepherd, when I acknowledge the Lord is my shepherd, it brings life and meaning and dignity to me. It says to me that I matter. It says to you that you matter. As Jeff mentioned, love. You are loved. You matter. You mean something important to the God of all creation. And as we look at this, we have to acknowledge that this is a pretty unique statement coming from King David. As a king, he's the shepherd of the people of Israel. And as a boy, he was the shepherd of his father's flock. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He was presently a shepherd and had experience being a shepherd. But here, he's not the shepherd in this passage. He's the sheep. He's the sheep. Here's a king who has the possessions of his nation before him, humbling himself and saying, I am one of the lowly flock. And it is with great pride and a sense of security that he looks to Yahweh and says, that is my shepherd. I know my need, and that is my shepherd. It gives him safety, gives him security. He acknowledges that Yahweh owns him. Well, now there's a tear at the pride. There's a tear at our self-centeredness. When you utter those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," you are saying that the Lord God Almighty owns me. And an owner can do as he will, can do as he wishes with those of that are his flock. And this is important because the type owner, the type shepherd that one is critical. Some shepherds cared for their sheep in a very unruly way. I'm sure those of you in the farming business know other farmers around, and you kind of look at their livestock and go, they might could do a little better job there. You see, the type shepherd, the type owner that one is, gives place, position, status to the sheep. Some shepherds, as I said, are very unruly. The sheep struggle, suffer, they're injured, they're unkept, they're dirty. But under the care of a good shepherd, they thrive. They grow into maturity. David no doubt saw his father's sheep. And I pray you understand what a good shepherd was and what his father had taught him. There's three things that I want to acknowledge here to confirm David's identification, the Lord being his shepherd, the Lord being our shepherd. Three things. First of all, you and me are his, and he owns us because he intentionally created us to be his. Again, purpose, meaning, and dignity. You were created purposely to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Before time, the Christian's name was a part of Lord God Almighty's thinking. And at the proper time, he brought you and me into existence. And at the proper time, and then that proper time, he made you and I his children. That's the first one. But not only did he create the Christian, you and I, to be his, but secondly, he then purchased you, me, as believers, to be his. He purchased you and I from the bonds of sin to secure us again as his children. And he can only do this through Jesus Christ. God took that second step. He created you, but because of Adam and Eve's fall, we were created, we were brought into this world in sin. So that second purchase, that second born again had to occur. God the Father decreed that from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time. God took that second step to secure the relationship between God and man. In Christ Jesus, God the Father demonstrated on that cross the desire of his heart. God showed you what he wanted. God revealed what he wanted when Jesus Christ was on that cross. He wanted and secured a people to be his own, that he could be the shepherd of. And he did this. He did this knowing that I would turn my back on him so many times. He did that knowing that you would turn your back on him so many times. Yet, however, he secured you through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus died for those, and as we read in Isaiah 53, like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin on your behalf. He purchased you. He purchased you. Jesus Christ said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, I've acknowledged that David humbled himself by identifying himself as a sheep, acknowledging the good shepherd. How do you feel being identified as a sheep? They ain't real smart animals. But actually, it's quite appropriate. It's quite appropriate. Like sheep, humans are fearful, timid, backwards, stubborn. One or two in here stubborn, probably. Notice I have my hand up first. Yet despite this, Jesus chose you. He bought you. And he now calls you by name. And he makes us his own and delights in caring and providing for us. I said there were three, so we have one final one that underscores the Lord God being our shepherd. And it goes back to that present tense, is my. The Lord is my. Present tense, the Lord is my shepherd. At this very moment, Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, is interceding for you, meaning he is there and through the work of the Holy Spirit, representing us before God the Father. When we come to God the Father in prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit, we come in Jesus' name. That gives us the ticket. That gives us the path to come into the door. And Jesus Christ is there with the Holy Spirit presenting our prayers for us and the Father's response to those prayers, working out his decrees and his will in our lives. Interceding. He's that intermediator, that ambassador on our behalf before God the Father. You do not walk. I asked Jamie Hunt one time, what scares you the most? What was one thing you're just fearful of? He said, if I ever had to stand before God the Father without Jesus Christ standing right there, that's fear. So, the Lord God, Yahweh, is confirmed to be our shepherd, first of all, by his creation. Second, by his purchase of us. And third, by his interceding for us on our behalf now. The Lord is my shepherd. And under the care of the shepherd, we find safety. We find security. And as we read through the remainder of the psalm over these next 11 weeks, we will find protection, feeding, nourishment, and surely we will find eternity with him. However, there's a cautionary statement that needs to be made here. No one has a right to consider himself or herself the Lord's sheep unless the inward nature has been renewed, has been made new, one has been born again. In Holy Scripture, we find a description of those who have not been made new, and they are not called sheep. They're called goats, or they're referred to as wolves. A sheep is an object of care. A goat or a wolf is an object of rejection by the shepherd. Begs a question. Where and which are you? Are you the sheep that enjoys the green pastures of the good shepherd? Or are you the one in the rocky crags about to be rejected by the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, and I am at peace. From Isaiah 40:11, we read, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Amen.